Nigeria Radio, bringing Nigerians in diaspora up to speed.
All right, it's still Spirit of Nigeria Radio, and as promised, as advertised, this is Diaspora Discuss, and today we have another interesting personality, a man of stature, that we'll be conversing with on Spirit of Nigeria Radio's Diaspora Discuss. He is the chairman, Central Association of Nigerians in the United Kingdom, Dr. Boma Douglas. Dr. Boma Douglas, like I said, is the chairman of the Central Association of Nigerians in the United Kingdom, CANUC, and a trustee of the Engineering Forum of Nigerians in the UK. He is a chartered energy engineer registered with the Engineering Council of the United Kingdom. He was a member of the Governing Council of the Energy Institute and a past chair of the Energy Institute in London and home countries branch. Dr. Douglas is on the membership panel and accreditation team of the Energy Institute. He is the immediate past president of the Engineering Forum of Nigeria. So I can go on and on and on and on. Dr. Boma Douglas, you're welcome to Spirit of Nigeria Radio.
Thank you so much. Appreciate.
All right. So this is this Diaspora Discuss. We do this, you know, once in a while to talk to Nigerians in the diaspora, because our radio station is focused on bringing Nigerians in the diaspora up to speed by way of being the authentic source of Nigerian information to them. All right. There are three questions that we ask compulsorily on Spirit of Nigeria Radio. The first one I'm going to ask you is a double-barreled one, and I'll ask the third one before we round up on the show. The first one is, please establish your Nigerianness and why you left Nigeria.
Basically, Nigerians do leave the country because they want to advance themselves in the way of education or business and so on. But I traveled because I wanted to improve myself education-wise. I came here, I did my master's degree in engineering, environmental engineering, and I did a PhD as well in engineering. So the main focus of travel was education.
Okay, but before you left Nigeria, what part of Nigeria do you come from? Before you left Nigeria, what were you doing? And of course, finally, you left Nigeria. Just give us a sense of it.
Oh, thank you. Basically, I came from River State, from the Calabari part of River State, from the Douglas and the Caribbean White family of River State. And, I've been here in the UK for over 31 years.
Wow.
It's quite a long way, isn't it? The thing is that people travel, just for several reasons. I wanted to advance myself. But when you are able to travel for one purpose and then later on you find family and all that become a necessity, and you find yourself becoming a citizen of another country.
Okay, I understand that. I understand that. And, of course, we've encountered and engaged quite a number of Nigerians who are out there in the diaspora. And honestly, I mean, same reasons most times, if not for education, the second reason, which is typically the number one reason, is for economic advancement. Things are not good at home. They needed to go abroad. But there's this issue that I'd just like to talk to you briefly about. When Nigerians leave their country and they go to other countries, for example, when the British government comes to recruit doctors here, is it brain drain or brain gain?
Well, the point is that mobility of labor is economically a good initiative for Nigeria as well as the countries where we do find ourselves in. So it is not one directional. So basically, when we tend to migrate from Nigeria, there are other professionals from other countries who do, also travel to Nigeria. So that's how it is. But basically, over the years, we've had you know, migration of expats in engineering, in medicine, in architecture.
Mm.
All have left the country, and basically, you know, my worry is mainly on the medical side, because we have so many consultants in various fields, experts in various fields, who should actually, you know, go back to help the system. You know, we shouldn't have so many, you know, from grassroots up to the elites, all dying. Look at what has happened over the COVID period.
Yeah.
Simply because people weren't able to travel to Western countries. Most of the upper class have passed on, you know, because within that short period of time, they couldn't have the facility. So, but we needed to bring back these professionals. The system has to be reconstituted in a way that a good platform is created for people to go back home. The security, you know, basically, yeah. Main thing is security. People want to go back home.
Certainly. I agree with you. And every time we talk to a Nigerian in diaspora, they keep telling us, home is home. We want to go back home. But like you rightly mentioned, security is the number one militating factor. And the second one is infrastructure. Once Nigeria can sort out those two, I believe a lot more Nigerians will be ready to come back home. All right. Okay. So I agree with you absolutely that there has to be, you know, some structure that will make, you know, Nigerians come back home. I'm sure the course of this conversation will still look at it in depth. But let's look at Nigeria and Britain. You know, they share a very strong tie and the relationship. And do you think that the British government in any way gives Nigerians the sort of, you know, in quotes, special attention or treatment due to this connection?
Very good question. Something happened just about a year or about 2 years ago,
mm-hmm.
When the Brexit issue became top, you know, very topmost on the agenda. And I remember that the heads of African states were here in the UK, and Boris Johnson at that time was the foreign minister, and he actually addressed the head. And he stated that this will be the last time the Commonwealth will ever be neglected. Because what happened was, over the years, well, we had Europe. So the attention, you know, shifted from the very brothers that they have, the relations, which the link that they had established over the years with the Commonwealth. So I think attention has now been redirected to the Commonwealth. Unfortunately, we have COVID now, so that, you know, initiative has not really yielded immediate results. Mm. But it is there. The government, you know, over the past 6-7 months, about a year, period of 1 year, I've looked towards the direction of the Commonwealth to work with professionals, especially in the health sector, the nurses, the doctors. You know, those are you know, the prime area that the United Kingdom would like to do business with.
Okay, so let's go home now to the Central Association of Nigerians in the United Kingdom, which was formed by the Nigeria High Commission in 2005, I believe. And this was, you know, like a recognition of the clear need to unite the various Nigerian groups under one umbrella organization. Has that been achieved? And what are the other objectives or the key activities of the Central Association of Nigerians in the United Kingdom?
Thank you, Toye. The Central Association of Nigerians in the United Kingdom, like you said, rightly, was created in 2005. And the main aim had been welfare. Welfare is at the center of the activities of this organization. Now, it is made up of the professionals and the old school associations. We're talking about the medical association, the engineers, the lawyers, state associations and so on. So it's constituted of these established bodies within the UK who've formed themselves into strong forms of self-help. So now all these associations are now linked to the Nigerian High Commission through this body, KANU. KANU is like a bridge between the Nigerian High Commission and the general public, because the so-called, say about 2 million Nigerians or so, cannot all go to the High Commission. This body, KANU, of which the executives are people who were giving back to society. They're experts themselves, okay, who are giving voluntary service to Nigeria. So okay, what they're doing is they are there to listen to the associations. Of course, the associations are run by executives as well. So if there are issues within those executives, within the associations, the executives of those associations link themselves up links up the Executive Council of KANU, okay, to intimate them with issues and problems, you know, within those bodies. And the Executive Council, you know, onwardsly now transfer whatever problem it is to the High Commission. So KANU as a body, it brainstorms with the High Commission when issues do come up and how to improve things, maybe within the High Commission and so on. So it is constituted of experts of various, standing, who are there willing to support not just the High Commission, but willing to support Nigeria. So okay, that's how it is. You know, there's this culture within the United Kingdom where charity and giving back is something that is so well respected within the system.
True.
And because they do recognize these organizations or these or individuals who go out to support the community one way or the other, that has now rubbed off, on Nigerians who are living here. And so there's a general enthusiasm to support, to give back. And most of them, you see, people back home, most people think the Nigerians here, most of them are students. No, these are people who are, they are heads of families. They are experts, much respected within the system, and they make things happen. And so they are not people that can be discounted at all. And I think if any government at all in Nigeria, if any government at all in Nigeria tends to forget that they have people out here, then that will be a big miss.
Yeah,
that'll be a big miss.
I agree, absolutely. And I think that's the reason why there is the Nigerians in Diaspora Commission right now, led by our sister, Mrs. Abike Dabirirewa. And I think they're doing quite a few things. But let me just look at your relationship, the KANUK, with other Nigerian, associations. For example, yesterday we spoke with the NANC's president, Mr. Olanyewaju Fakule, and he didn't have any issues or anything negative to say, but from your own point of view, do you think there's harmony? And I was saying that if Nigerians in Nigeria emulate NANCS and KANUK, maybe all the division that we have in this country, would be put behind us. Because, like he said, once you're out of Nigeria, people don't see themselves as whether you are Ishekiri, Ijo, Yoruba, Hausa, Igbo. You have a green passport, and therefore you are a Nigerian. What kind of relationship exists between, Central Association of Nigerians in the United Kingdom and other smaller groups or, other associations?
Well, thank you so much. You've hit on a very serious note. Over the years, there have been issues. There have been one problem or the other with these associations and so on. But since I came into office,
yes,
this is my second term, so I'm finishing in May next year. I have been able to relate with all the organizations, whether with NANCS or with NIDO and all that. I kind of created some sort of relationship that I'm sure when I leave, people will wonder how I did it. Mm. Now, the executives of NANGS, you know, they are my friends. I do relate with them. And when major functions do happen, we all show up and we shake hands and we relate. When, you know, in London, we had a Grenfell fire. We were there. Anans and I were there.
Yeah, you confirmed
and,
that.
When the High Commissioner initially arrived in the United Kingdom here, Justice Guntadi, I went around the whole country with him, and we were having town hall meetings and so on. And Nanks were with us, and we would always meet up. And so I've created a completely different atmosphere. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, this is the very first time Nido and Kanuk have had a major event together. The independence celebration which we had on the 3rd, we didn't do it on the 1st because we were giving room for the mission to probably have its own diplomatic function. So we had on the 3rd, and Nido and Kanu came together to organize a massive event, and it was where the High Commission, and this was zoomed out to the whole world. And we were just sending out a message that, look, if we come together, we will, that is a stronger force, and will deliver things unimaginable rather than disunity. Because, you see, the point is that when you're in office, it is not an infinite position. You're not there forever. It's just a short space of time. Yeah. When you leave, someone else will be there. So there is actually no point. I'll give you an example. I mean, Obama was the president of the United States. He didn't take the United States to Kenya. I mean, he finished and he moved on. Someone else came in. That's why I sometimes get, Kanuk is non-governmental. I'm sorry, non-political. So I don't want to delve into politics. But you see, basically what I want to say is that the way people fight themselves because one party or one person or the other was going to get into power is really very amusing, because it will be a short period of time. That person would leave and someone else would come in. And even if you now decided to plant someone else as soon as you left office, I can tell you that I can be quoted any day that there is a threshold within which that individual will now suddenly, the natural instinct of that individual will kick in, and that individual will, after a short period, begin to perform in his
You're back.
He will now begin to deliver appropriately in the way he thinks things should be. So to imagine that, someone else planted in my stead, then there are gains associated. There are associated gains. That is very, very short term. So people should be more open-minded when it comes to people getting into office. People will go in, and after a while, they'll move on, others will come in. So we should all, have an open mind. Oh, if somebody from my ethnicity comes into office, so that means we will now be in a more advantageous position. The offices do change from time to time, and that's the point. So that is my take on that.
All right, thank you very much. I'm enjoying you. I'm feeling you real well. Of course, you said I hit a serious note, and you've dealt with this seriously. I could even feel the passion in your voice. All right, I'm going to ask you one more question before we go on a break so that you can catch your breath. The first generation of Nigerians that came, to the UK, our fathers, the founding fathers of the nation, the founding professionals, they went back to Nigeria. But the reverse is the case. The reverse is the case now. Why do you think this is so?
You are so right. Now, the way I see things is this. Now, in the 60s and 70s and, early 80s, people, Nigerians who came into the UK would come in to educate themselves and then go swiftly back because the system was ready to accept them in such a way that, you know, we had a period where we had permanent secretaries. Permanent secretaries will be in a ministry until they retired. And there was consistency and you could really trace, you know, your history from if you went into civil service from one year to the end.
That's true.
Now what is happening is because they've politicized it and so on. Well, the structure is so broken down. And so, you know, people who are going home, I remember those days, people went back home, they're given the house, they're given a car, and they were already settled, you know. And that is no more there. And you find out that there's this uncertainty, you know, of Nigerians wanting to go back home. Now, you want to go back home, to get settled. You don't want to go back home and then start to, you know, start to struggle. Of course, the struggle continues in life. Mm. The struggle is a continuity. But you need to arrange yourself in such a way that it will be palatable when you get home. Now, government were able to provide that those days. There was this security. You didn't have any issues of security. You didn't have any issues of jobs you know people were to go into. So these are the things, the necessary infrastructure that, you know, should be put in place for. What I mean infrastructure, I'm talking about maybe security and infrastructure. I'm talking about jobs and all that will be there for individuals to hope on. What are you hoping? You know, what are your hopes when you're traveling? When you go back, so these were no issues. All the ground was there for people to get into. But these days, the uncertainties are so much, and that's why it's so difficult for people to quickly get back home. You know what? I just want to make one point clear.
Yes, sir.
That in the United Kingdom, and even in most parts of the world, you hardly find any northerner sitting back abroad.
Hmm.
You rather find those in the east, those from the east and the south and west, north, west, you know, those are the ones that are here. But I still haven't visualized why that is happening. But basically, I think there is a system back in the north where people look after each other. I think that's something other areas would need to copy, you know. Because, you know, when you're coming back from here, you need your relations of yours, you know, waiting to receive and to make sure you're fine and settle you and to signpost and make sure you're all right.
Yeah.
I'm sure they have gotten that right. Yeah. I don't know how they did it. But I think that is something that people from other parts of the country would be.
Okay. I feel you. I feel you. And I know that it's something that I would also like to contribute when we come back after this break, because I know that we've been speaking for close to 30 minutes. You might want to grab a drink. You might want to wet your throat some more. And of course, let me remind you of home. Let me play you something that I'm sure you will find interesting. We'll talk about the music once I come back, because it's something that I believe is appropriate, especially given where you come from in Nigeria. This one, okay, let me reveal it. This one is Sir Jim Rex Lawson, Love Me Adure. Thank you. Alright, it's still Spray Love Nigeria Radio, and we were just giving some musical or home musical treat to Dr. Buma Douglas, Chairman, Central Association of Nigerians in the United Kingdom. He is the one we've been having this great conversation about our country, Nigeria, and the activities of Nigerians in the UK on Diaspora Discuss on Spirit of Nigeria Radio. Alright, sir, does that music give you some nostalgic feeling?
Oh, yeah, I feel very nostalgic now, absolutely.
That's the second time I'm getting you this music and the other question I asked you. Yeah, we try to play some of this music, or types of music for Nigerians, you know, in the diaspora, so that they can, you know, remember home and the time they were here. All right, okay, so let's go into something else. Nigeria's international image, Nigeria's image in the diaspora, does it bother you? Does it worry you? And what do you think we can do about it?
See, Nigerians living in the United Kingdom or even abroad, I mean, even in the United States and elsewhere, Nigerians are generally very patriotic of their country. They're very patriotic people. Because there are three things that come into mind here. Any diasporan. I'm using that word, and I'll tell you why I hate using that word. But let me first of all say that there are three things that come to mind. The first thing is your relation at home. The next is the business establishment, you know, that you need to, you know, link up back at home. And then how to support the work of government at home. These are things that plays on the minds of anyone that is abroad. Now, the thing is, if you're worried that your relations back home are threatened security-wise, or they are hit by poverty or whatever, you're now in a position to make sure that you support them financially and all that. And you know, it's not as if that we have the trees here abroad where you have the money. But you are drawn to support them. So that can be done. But the major problem is that if government back at home is operating to an international standing, then it calls for question, because what's happening is now that we have social media, information is everywhere.
Yes.
And people you work with, I mean, we relate at very high level, you know, in the United Kingdom and in the United States and so on. So now your friends and headquarters do ask, what's happening in your country? And that is the thing. But I can assure you that 90% of people in the diaspora do want to project their country in good light. There is a percentage of very passionate people who feel very strongly and who are very critical of what's going on, and you know, they want to voice out their opinion, and it may sound a bit negative, But I think they haven't done that out of being unpatriotic. But it's done within a wish that things were done differently. I think that's the thing. So
true.
So the way I see things is that there is room for improvement. There are people in government who've been abroad who've seen these things before, but they've all come back home and it's nonchalant. It's like you just, you know, join the crowd. And then you all go to sleep and do nothing. Well, I'll give you an example. You just say going through one particular road in the United Kingdom and you find out that there is a hitch somewhere. Maybe there's a culvert that is an issue and you are worried about it. By the time you pass there, within the next 2 months, that has been sorted. You know, because, you know, when you're, as soon as you pass through somewhere and you're beginning to worry that, oh, this is not right, the next time, give yourself a month or so, by the time you pass through that same road, it is sorted. Now, I cannot understand the people who had the opportunity of going abroad, and who have seen how things work, you know, within the Western world and within Europe and other countries are back there in the country and they are not energizing them and they're not, you know, trying, they're not bringing in the expected vigor, which means that there's something is going wrong. Mm. Is it that not enough people are going back? Or I'm not saying that those who are there are not, you know, they are good enough. There are people who would sound, but I think what we have between the United Kingdom, those who work in the UK or abroad, and Nigeria, is a work mentality, the work ethics, and that is what is missing within you know both countries. If generally those who are working within the system back in Nigeria have that same work ethics, things will go right. I mean, you couldn't just come in, you know, sign the register and disappear. That's not done. And basically, even if you're working within very high, you know, to a very high level, or even in managerial level abroad, you could work from home because you have a laptop, you could do things, and you could still work effectively, and the quality of your work will be audited by your next man, you know, your colleague who is there. So there's a system where, you know, whereby you can check yourself. Now, for someone of a very high, you know, standing, you know, getting into work in the morning and then after an hour, the person disappears, you know, so these are the sort of things. And you should be seen to be working towards, the realization of the dream of success for the country. You're not working. Sometimes people forget that we're not just working for ourselves. When we're employed, we're working for the country. We're working. It's a service, and service is so so important. That is the culture which we need to imbibe. You know, the good culture of work is what we need to imbibe. So the thing is, when we work with other engineers in Nigeria and maybe when in conferences, and they say, oh, do you mean that we who are in Nigeria, we're not doing well, we're not experts? Mm. No, they are experts, but we work in a different regime, and we've been put through a system where you need to deliver. You need to bring something new to table.
That's true.
And that's it. You're not just there just to conform or something. You are there, they want to see that. They are checking your output, the quality of work you deliver. So that's the thing. So there's always the checks and balances all the way. And that is a system that is broken down, that's not there, you know, back at home. So that's the work ethics I'm talking about.
Okay, I understand you, and I agree with you absolutely. That work ethics is driven by a different attitude. And even in Nigeria, one of the challenges that I see that we have is we don't operate a nation of consequences. Any country that you see that the rule of law is upheld, very strongly, you would see there will be development in such a country or in such a nation, and which is, you know, our bane here. Okay, I know that you are able to dissect, you know, the issues. So what is your organization, for example, doing, you know, to ensure that Nigerians, for example, in the UK, in a well-structured manner, can contribute to nation building?
Okay. I've been in several, you know, organizations and so on. But like we know, we're talking about Hanuk, we're talking about Engineering Forum of Nigeria. Engineering Forum of Nigeria consisted of several types of engineers, mechanical, electrical, you know, manufacturing and so on. And what we do relate to this with Nigeria in terms of knowledge exchange, relate with the Corinne and the NSC. We organize conferences, and they always their leaders to come in here and we relate and we discuss issues and so on. So that's the way, you know, you've got to do it in a certain way without making the next expert feel that you know, you have to teach him something, so that's the thing. And we create a platform where we also listen to them and they tell us what they've done and so on. And then we now tell them in a certain way how things are done here. Because, you see, the thing is that the technology is out here, and you are, I'll give you an example. When I was based in Oxford, I was working with the company WSR, which is, they're all over the world, but nuclear and power, and so on, solar energy. Now, there was a meeting that was held at a particular time, and we were supposed to have the meeting somewhere within the nuclear and power section. And we went in there. You have to be cleared in the 10th power to be able to get in there. And because we were having a meeting, the meeting was supposed to be held there. And we got to the door, and we pressed the border, and they admitted us, because they knew, these are people who were cleared anyway, we got in there. And the person seated there was a Nigerian.
Wow.
You need to be cleared to your grandparents before you'll be allowed to walk in there. And the person who was there was a Nigerian. When I walked in, and we looked at each other as we laughed. You know, so Nigerians are everywhere. I mean, there's nothing you can do. There's no area at all that you can talk about that you wouldn't find Nigerians in the United Kingdom. And, people sometimes, we really underestimate, you know, what is out here. So the way I visualize things is that I think now and then those who are back there in government should try and come in and relate with others. It used to happen those days. I mean, OBJ was there those days, and that used to happen. And people were pulled from here and there. We're still talking about Kunjuel at today. So that's the thing. It is out there. So what we are doing is to create the platform. We are offering a platform where people can spring from to impact on the country. We have from the Nigerian Institute of Engineers. We have a Engineering Forum of Nigerians. Here in the UK, we have the medical associations. All people who are on this platform are ready. They are ready to give back. Most times people, evaluating and they think that everything is money. There are people here who are ready to give back without asking for money. All they're asking is that let their effort be recognized. So that's the situation. So we create a platform for people to communicate and bring new ideas that we are able to sell to the High Commission. Commission or to the ministers, you know, and so on. So that is the sort of platform we've created. But most importantly, we tend to support each other. And if there are issues, we all come together and find solutions, link up the Nigerian High Commission and brainstorm and try and see how issues could be resolved. And most times when, is it like things about the diaspora voting, you know, people have been talking about it and so on. And this on this platform, the general platform that has been created, you know, these are issues we should discuss. And you know, those who are ready to listen will pick things, you know, and to support the system. So that is the platform we've created.
Yeah, you just pulled that out of my mouth, really, because my next question was, Nigerians in the diaspora, are they ripe to contribute to the electoral process? Are they ripe to vote, you know, in Nigerian elections, which is a campaign that Spirit of Nigeria has been embarking on since the 1st of July. And we're happy that there are a few developments in the right direction from the House of Representatives, from the Nigerians in Diaspora Commission, and we are all working together. We are saying, yes, we think it's right if Nigerians in the diaspora contribute about 80% of our budget, 6% of GDP, it's time for them to contribute, you know, also in the area of votes. Of course, it might not be something that's going to happen overnight. Maybe we need to start in steps, maybe from presidential, then we go down. But what's your own personal take on that? Because you didn't say whether you are for it or not. I want to know, are you for Nigerians in diaspora, you know, to vote in Nigerian elections?
Certainly. This is the simplest thing any government can achieve. All they need to do is, it is statutory. All they need to do is to, you know, pass a motion and agree on things if they need to put that in the constitution. That, you know, that shouldn't really take a million years to achieve. So that government will come and go, and it now looks like something laborious for anybody. That is the simplest thing anybody could do. You think somebody should raise that motion to say, look, this should happen. It's so easy because the mission in each of the countries will be there to collect information about those in that particular country. And that way, I mean, if we were to vote, you know, that is, if people were to go to the mission to vote or if we done electronically, that's something that should simply be done and be transmitted back home. And it's going to be very checkable. So what's anybody being afraid of? What are they worried about? So I see no reason why they think, oh, this may happen in the next 10, 20 years. What for? What are we waiting for?
All right. I know that the chairman House of the chairman House Committee on Diaspora says that the bill, I think it's going to be read shortly, or maybe it's been read, one of the two. But they are taking it seriously, and of course, we will continue to monitor. And I'm sure we can always give you a feedback in terms of, you know, the progress or the developments in that regard, because we feel very strongly about it since we are a station that, you know, addresses Nigerians in the diaspora. All right, we're winding down now. I know that we've been speaking, and I'm getting ready to talk to another Nigerian in diaspora, Mr. Titus Olowokere, who is the President CEO of U.S. Nigeria Trade Council. So I have one or two more questions for us to wrap it up, and I'll give you the opportunity of the last word. Okay, UK and Nigeria, like we've been talking, you know, it's like home for a lot of Nigerians. So let's go now to how do you, okay, you are more focused on the professionals, but of course, the other, to some people, London is just like Nigeria. The other day I saw on video Nigerians in Peckham, you know, street party. How have you been able to adjust? You know, you're 31 years out there. How have you been able to adjust to these cultural differences, or sometimes like a culture shock?
Yes. Look, the past 6 months have been really rough. You know, for Nigerians in the United Kingdom, just as it had been rough for for any Briton, you know, or those abroad. Now, but let me just go back. I'm not going to use the COVID period as an example because that is something new, something that just came up. But back, you know, 30 years, 20 years, you know, period, Nigerians, like I said to you, they are so patriotic. They carry their culture with them wherever they went. And that's exactly what has happened here in the United Kingdom. In terms of weddings or in terms of naming ceremonies, everything that happened, that, you know, was that we had back in Nigeria is here. And they do it so correctly. So there is really, you know, nothing much in terms of difference in culture, in our behavioral pattern. We do go home and so we see there are things that like, there are people who are chiefs, already chiefs in Nigeria, but they're here. So the tradition and culture is the same. People will dobale for their relations, and the polar note is presented appropriately, and all. So the culture is the same. Now, the only difference that we have, which is a very controversial area, is where, you know, in marriage, where you have a very drastic cultural difference between how it happens, how things happen in Nigeria and back here. You know, there are some people, some men who are finding it very difficult to adjust because they expect, you know, they their wives to behave in a particular in a particular form, and the women are also experts in their own fields, and it's such a difficult thing to now to behave in that expected pattern back home. So the important thing is to know the difference and adjust appropriately so that the family system is not broken down.
Yeah, or eroded.
The thing is that those who create a balance is that if your parents visited, you know, on any day, the wife will be expected to behave in that pattern that is expected of her back in Nigeria.
True.
But if the wife, you know, now decided to show the culture, the culture,
the Oyibo mentality,
then you're sending the wrong signal, and I tell you what, you know, you would not enjoy the information that will be transmitted back home. So that is the thing, back in the United States, unfortunately, that brought so many problems, and because of recent killings, you know, that happened, you know, between a man and his wife.
Yes,
you know, these are the things. You know, it because of culture, and you know, the point is that people should know the balance, especially for those who live back in Nigeria and who know the culture there, and those who are here. The only people who may not know how it works are those who were born here and who have not really gone back home to see how the system works. So, in terms of culture shock, Nigerians are very good at managing things. I'm sure 85% of Nigerians, you know, do manage the difference in culture appropriately.
All right, that's good news because it looks like in America it's different. there's a program that we run every Sunday at 6 o'clock, which will soon come up. And there's this Nigerian psychologist who's based in South Africa. And one of the discussions we had, I think 2 weeks ago, you know, bordered on how a Nigerian man wants to be in control, just like he's in control at home of the wife, but also expects the wife to share the bills, which is a dissonance if you ask me. In Nigeria, you don't split the bills, but in America, they split the bills. So you have to choose one. Do you want to live in America or do you want to live like in Nigeria? You know, so these are scenarios that we see, you know, almost every time, especially with Nigerians in the diaspora. Looks like we have been talking for... All right, I think we have to cut it here now. I'm sure there'll be some other opportunities for us to talk. Let me also say that Spirit of Nigeria Radio is willing to partner the Central Association of Nigerians in the United Kingdom, you know, as a media partner that will be projecting your activities, some of the things that you're doing. And I'm sure we can work out the details, you know, later on. But we'd like to thank you for this wonderful and golden opportunity to talk to us. It's been very, very, very illuminating, very, very exciting, you know, hearing your perspective, you know, about issues relating to Nigerians in the diaspora. So one last word from you one last word from you, sir. Speaking to all the Nigerians in the UK now who are listening to us.
Yeah, I'd just like to say happy 60th independence anniversary. And I'll just appeal that we continue to support the sitting government. They're individual, they're human beings. We need to just give the support and project the good points and try and make suggestions to improvement in areas that are not up to scratch. But we shouldn't throw the baby and the soap and baby
and the bathwater away.
The bathwater. So we should please try and project Nigeria generally in good light, because Nigeria is a good country.
All right, thank you very much. That has been the chairman, Central Association of Nigerians in the United Kingdom, Dr. Boma Douglas, who has been with us on Spirit of Nigeria Radio's Diaspora, discussed this Sunday, 11th of October, the year of our Lord 2020. Thank you very much, sir. And we hope that
you
continue to pick our calls. And I'm parting. I'm going to play you another one, which is I'm a Port Harcourt Boy by Timaya.
Who are you?
All right. Thank you very much. Keep on listening. It's all right.
My pleasure. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Right.
Bye.
Spirit of Nigeria Radio, bringing Nigerians in diaspora up to speed.
Not just OK.com.
I enjoy it. man up with it though. I didn't see the any man on my any bitch. I never enjoy it when I lose it. I want to be one love. One love. When you buy it,
not just okay.com.
When I do it, 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 when
Okay.com.